Outsourcing is, yeah, that's a tricky conversation in the sense that outsourcing has kind of become this cool little thing everyone wants to do to save money. But for whatever reason, I've always felt people have this unrealistic expectation of what's going to happen when they hire someone from overseas.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey listener, you are listening to Smart Brand Marketing. I had a busy couple of days. Since we last met, I flew to South Korea and had some killer Korean barbecue. Afterwards, landed in Chiang Mai, Thailand last Wednesday night. Went on a search for apartments on Thursday, locked one in on Friday, and moved in on Saturday. It's been tough figuring out where everything is and also work on this episode, but I did it, and as you can hear it, it's done. One of the most recent fads in business is the creation of productized services. This basically means that you package your services as a product, nothing custom, and allow for people to buy them off the shelf like they would a toothbrush at Walmart. Most of these fail and don't make money, but I did find someone that is killing it with this exact model. His name is Ryan Mayo, and I'll let him take it from here. Give me some background on what you did before you started this new business model and kind of how, or maybe where you learned the skills to even be able to do it.
I was actually in the fitness industry for, I think, 6 years or so, 6 or 7 years. And I had opened a personal training studio in the US and did okay with that. And then I ended up selling it and moving to Bangkok and ended up opening a personal training studio in Bangkok in an expat community. And that all went well. I ended up selling that too. And then I wanted to start something that was much more focused on, one, recurring revenue, and then two, that gave me a little more independence on how my days looked. Fitness and personal training is a really fun market to be in. It's just incredibly exhausting. It requires a ridiculous amount of energy. You know, you really are mostly getting paid for the time you spend, so for the hours you put in. I decided to just make a big change, and I sold everything and lived off that money for a little while. And in the meantime, instead of getting crazy and traveling, I kind of hunkered down and lived with some friends and family and taught myself how to design and build websites. And I went out and started selling them. That was probably the big thing. I remember selling my first one, and I had no idea how to build or design a website, but I wanted to see if I could do it. And I went out and sold some websites and just been self-taught and became better taught as we've hired team members that are better at coding and design than we are.
How did you sell the first website? I bet a lot of people are interested in that. How do you go from just having a business, personal training, and then actually selling something you don't know how to do?
Well, I was used to selling. So, you know, selling fitness is pretty challenging. You're dealing with a pretty deep emotional level with people. So what I did is I didn't want to go out and just sell a website. I didn't actually make much money from it. I wanted to try something different. So I went out and I just started going door to door, business to business, everything possible, walking into places and basically said, hey, I'll do a custom website for you and I'll give it to you for free, but you got to pay me $50 a month and I'll support it, I'll host it, and I'll do all that stuff, but all the setup's going to be free. So not necessarily a long-term model, but that's how I started with the first one. And I followed that up with a bunch of others and just got a good base of recurring revenue doing that.
How did you even come up with that concept?
I don't remember, to be honest. I remember that for me, maybe getting a website was a big pain point as a business owner. And starting off, it was a real big pain point because I didn't have money. I didn't have, you know, $15, $2,000, $3,000 to drop, but I did have $50 a month to drop easy. So I think that's where it originated from, was I felt that people, especially smaller businesses and newer businesses, which is who I wanted to go after, would be much more willing to jump on a small monthly fee opposed to a big startup fee. And that I'd be able to figure out how to keep my costs low and not be under the table with giving that startup fee free. And that's what we've done ever since, really.
First few sales you made were to small businesses, right?
Yep, absolutely.
But now you evolved into something completely different. Can you kind of walk us through that?
I eventually brought on a business partner to do the sales element for me so I could focus on developing the design and programming and a team around that and the systems. And for, I think, a year or two, It's been about 7 years now. We went door to door and sold like crazy to small business to prove that, you know, we could sell websites a little bit differently. And that was at a lower cost with a decent monthly fee to build recurring revenue. After we kind of proved that, we knew that other marketing firms, agencies, et cetera, were turning down smaller websites. And typically a lot of them, they tend to get a lot of requests for them, but it's just not really worth their time because they don't make any money doing it usually for the price that these small businesses could pay. So what we eventually ended up doing was setting it up with our team where an agency could basically outsource to us on a private label basis, and they would be able to upsell our service and make plenty of money and still be cheaper than everybody else. So eventually we switched over to becoming an agency outsource company, and we only sold to agencies that were trying to sell smaller business websites to their community around them and stop turning down those requests they were getting.
I think that's brilliant. I see a lot of big agencies have that same exact problem. Anything below $1,000, they don't want to deal with.
It's pretty surprising because over time, you're just turning away customers. And those, you know, there's some percentage of those customers are going to become big clients. And a percentage of those customers also are going to know other big clients. So if you can bring them in on a lower level and set the rules in place and say, hey, here's what you get for this price, and here's the monthly price, and here's what you get for that, but nothing more, they're typically very happy to oblige to that. You just have to be upfront about it. And you can build recurring revenue in an incredible way. $50 a pop starts adding up when you get 10, 15 requests a month for a small business website that you're typically turning away. And, you know, it ultimately ends up becoming much cheaper to upgrade an existing customer than trying to bring on a new one or resell to that old customer you turned down.
That's true. Can you describe your business model now so that people kind of understand how you actually structure the company, how you're making money with it?
Absolutely. So we sell websites, small business custom WordPress websites to agencies and only agencies. We sell them for a $400 flat fee. And then $15 a month. So the $400 covers a custom design with unlimited revisions and then a full build out of that approved design when it gets to that point. And then for the $15 a month, we'll host it and then we'll offer a full blown support package. So any updates they need, any changes they need, any content additions, everything to the extent we won't redesign the site and rebuild it, but within the constraints of what we did build for them, we will make those updates and fix technical things and plug in updates. And it's all flat fee based, which is kind of our focus with the agencies, is we can set that in motion where they know exactly what their costs are going to be. And then they can easily upsell that to a higher cost and keep the cost settled for the small business owner, which is the ultimate goal. Is small business owners tend to have issues with web development because the cost can be super unexpected over a period of years. So if we can say, hey, it's only going to cost you this much, no matter what you need, and the agency can make $50, $100, $150 a month extra off of that, that's going to be a great revenue generator for them. So now we only go after agencies. We sell to agencies that are looking to really increase their bottom line of recurring revenue and offer some really quality websites to small business in their area.
What made you decide to niche down like that? I find that's really challenging for a lot of people since they feel they're leaving so much out on the table.
It was definitely challenging to start saying no to projects coming in. And we still get lots of direct customers come to us asking us for a project just because we're out and about in the town and getting a decent name for ourselves in other cities. But the hardest part was just saying no. It was the most challenging thing because we felt like we were leaving money on the table. But my business partner and I had sat down one day and said, listen, this is every time we take one of these on, it's really kind of killing us in how we can be productive in how we want to niche down. So once we kind of set a rule in place and said, we're going to, you know, for the next 6 months, we're only going to sell to agencies. We're not accepting any business. And if we do get requests, we're actually just going to refer it to one of our agencies and see how that goes. That was the difficulty of it. And why we decided to do that was we just couldn't serve everybody and really grow. It just wasn't happening. The minute we cut the cord on trying to serve everybody and focused, our revenue shot up like crazy because we were much more effective in what we did. We became significantly better. We were able to market more efficiently, and we were able to really nail down list of potential clientele much, much better and just go after them in a really solid manner.
What methods are you using to market and sell to these bigger web agencies?
We have a 7-tier method we use. What we basically do in short is, first thing we do is we collect a list through different portals like BNI Connect or other places that have lists of marketing agencies, advertisement agencies, and so forth. What we do is once we get through that, we'll do some database work and figure out the ones that are great matches for us that we think. And then we'll send them a bulk mailer. And the bulk mailer actually has something a little fairly unrelated to websites in it. It's a private labeled bottle of hot sauce we put together. And it has a one page, or has just like a postcard flyer. And it says something like, ready to turn up the heat on your recurring revenue or something like that. So completely irrelevant really to what we do, but it's amazing the calls we get. But what we use that bulk mailer for, and why we made it a little more fun, was that once that bulk mailer is sent out, we'll wait a week or two till they're delivered fully, and we'll do a cold call to that person we sent it to. And now that cold call has turned more into a warm cold call, because we can really call an intro and say, hey, we sent that bottle of hot sauce. And that opens up a really great conversation, because they think it's fun. You know, it captured their attention because it was either a big red bottle or a big bag we sent it in. So instead of trying to cold call them completely, it just opens the door for a fun little conversation and why we did that. Once we do that and we get them into our system, they're either going to say, well, I'm interested or I'm not. If not, we cut them off instantly. Two, if they're interested, we start a follow-up chain of about 5 to 7 emails and phone calls that we strategically kind of plan time-wise. And that's mostly what we do. That's probably the bulk of how we market and advertise ourselves.
I love it. I can't see how anyone cannot like hot sauce coming exactly. into the mail.
Everyone loves hot sauce.
Yeah. So what sort of onboarding process do you have for a new agency that comes on?
When an agency comes on, we go over our system and how we function. We're very specific in how we communicate. So everything's online. We don't do it through email. We do it through a project management system. And we take them through the process. We have some documentations. We'll also provide, some people are just getting started and don't have a big portfolio. So we have a big portfolio they can use on their website of both websites and logos. Usually the first one, we just want them to get going. As we onboard them, we do a lot of handholding with the initial process, because once you get it down once, we tried to automate it with documents and stuff, but it's hard to teach people that way sometimes with certain things. So we typically just get on the phone and walk our agencies through the process until they get it down pat. And once they do, they're good. And we don't really have to mess with it anymore.
What project management system do you use?
We currently use Basecamp, but it's not something I recommend. We'll be switching to something else soon. But for the amount of websites we get in, it's a little bit overwhelming, actually. Functional right now, but that's currently what we use.
Which systems are you looking at?
The best one we found is Teamwork PM. The challenge we have is at any one time, we can have 200, 300, 400 active websites in progress, because we can get anywhere between 50 and 100 new websites a month. So it adds a whole different level of project management. And a lot of those systems aren't really built for that type of volume. So, but Teamwork PM was the one that's kind of been our choice that we'll most likely switch over to at this point.
Yeah, that's some serious volume. So you probably need a serious team for that. Can you describe your team? Where do you find them? How is it structured?
Our team's all out of Southeast Asia. They've all worked for us almost the whole time. So we don't have really any overturn, which has been fantastic and a challenge not that we really haven't had to deal with. And I think that's partly how we manage them and pay them. So they're all out of Southeast Asia. They're all full-time and salaried. Basically what we have is we have multiple teams within our team. So we have a design team, a program team, a support team, and then, you know, human resources and project managers in place as well.
Well, then how do you manage and pay them so that you don't have turnover? Because that's an issue with a lot of outsourcing.
Outsourcing is, yeah, that's a tricky conversation in the sense that outsourcing has kind of become this cool little thing everyone wants to do to save money. But for whatever reason, I've always felt people have this unrealistic expectation of what's going to happen when they hire someone from overseas. I find that usually the failures of outsourced people are the people hiring, not so much the people they are hiring. They don't put in the due time to make sure they're hiring someone good. They're not treating them well. Their expectations are unrealistic. And a lot of times, most of the people that have problem with it, I found, were just being dicks to their employees or these contractors they're hiring. And that just doesn't go over well. You just can't be mean to them. I mean, it's totally different culture, totally different environment. And you wouldn't do that here either. I mean, you wouldn't do that in the U.S. where I'm at. So what we do is we do a lot of training, and all our hiring is done very specifically. I don't start the initiation with a hire. I have my human resources person over there start it, which is a big change. And then we always pay on time. We give vacations. We give holidays and we don't even question that stuff. We just do. It's part of it. They know that that's part of working for a great company is that we want them to enjoy their, not just their work life, but their life in general. So those are the major things we do. And then we do rewards. We have things like big pizza parties and big outings that I obviously can't go to, but we send over money to our project managers and human resources, and everyone will go out and have a party or go out to dinner. And that builds some really nice morale amongst the team members.
So how big is that team?
We have 15 people now.
15. That's not many people to build so many websites.
And I don't want to have a lot of people to build a lot of websites. It's all about process. So it's putting things in a system that works really efficiently. And that's basically what we've done is when someone turns in a project, we turn the design over to them in 7 working days or less usually. Revisions take 24 hours to 48 hours usually for those once we receive them. And then once we get the concept approved, it's 30 working days to get the site live, assuming we get all the necessary items from the client as well. So our turnaround time is pretty fast compared to what you're going to get locally even in the US from web developers. But it helps because this is our only focus. This is all we do.
What surprised you the most in the course of launching the service?
I think what surprised me was not so much anything within our service. It was as we connected with more agencies was the lack of how they were building their businesses, I guess, is how poorly they were building their businesses, and they were quoting out every project and they had no process to their sales, no process to how they did websites. It was just kind of all ad hoc. And I get that every day still. I see it. And it's amazing to me because I don't know how you build a company fast and well doing that. So that's kind of been the surprise. And the other surprise is when we bring on agencies doing that and we help them change their model a little bit to build recurring, to have more processes. Because if they're going to use us, they have to use our process, which means they have to push that process to their client. And how much of a change it is for them financially to do that, and how quickly it starts growing their business, even if they're charging a little less than they're used to sometimes.
Yeah, I've seen that too. I've seen that big agencies, they really do a lot of custom stuff, and they get really defensive when you try to explain to them that you don't have to do everything custom. You can make these systems. So how do you kind of overcome that defensiveness?
We stick to our guns. I mean, we get a lot of pushback because everyone wants to do things their own way. We just stay strong and say, listen, if you're going to use us, you have to use our system. There's no questions. It's the only way we keep our prices at $400 and $15 a month. It's the only way we do it. And if they don't want to, then we send them on their way, because there's 200 other agencies that we have in our call list for the next couple weeks. So we don't get caught up in people that don't want to make things better, because we're only out to help. We're not trying to make things worse for them. And we know firsthand that this is a much better way to make money than typically how they're doing it.
What's the biggest mistake that you think you made while building this business, and how did you solve it?
Probably the biggest mistake was not niching down faster and sooner. I think we waited way too long for that. And I think we could have been a year or two ahead and dramatically advanced at what we're doing if we hadn't waited so long. Yeah, I think that was one of the major ones that I always come back to.
Yeah, but see, the question then is, unless you actually go through a lot of these clients and go through a lot of these niches, how would you figure out quicker? How would you cut that time in half and niche down faster if you didn't know the things you knew? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the first year we really launched and went after small business, we had plenty of experience after that year, and we kind of gradually went into the agency thing, and we're trying to do both. And I think that was the mistake, because our first year we sold around 300 websites. So we had a pretty good base of website sales and website development at that point that we probably could have switched over a little quicker. But at the same time, it's probably a good point that if I took it away, maybe I would question myself again. So I think that was probably one thing that I wish I would have done, though.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think the same way. So tell everyone where they can find you, how they can reach you, if there's anything you're working on now.
Yeah, you can always find us at thewebsiteproject.org. And we have all our information on there. Super easy to contact us online or through the phone from the phone number on the website. And then you can always contact me direct at ryan@thewebsiteproject.org as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.